You know, this is a big company got an outfit. This is not a slipshod, half-hearted outfit. This is a really big deal, a company with great power. With great strength, with great ability.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes we look at numbers, we look at effort, we look at trauma, and we think, what will we ever do? Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do what we always do. We're going to lean, depend on Almighty God.
Amen.
Every single time. Because our God has not failed us. He's not through. He's not quit. He's not retired. He's working, working, working. He's working, he's working. I know my God is working, he's working, he's working. I know my God is working, he's working, he's working. He's working down in me, the Holy Ghost is working. You see, he set my spirit free. Who is he? God, the Holy Ghost. We're a spirit being. On the inside, I am spirit. And it's not a spiritual vacuum. It's not a Casper the Ghost type person. It's me, and we can go through the scripture and see a spirit being has arms and legs and eyes and ears. It looks very much like the physical man, made of different materiality, a different composition. No doubt if you touched a spirit man, it wouldn't feel the same. It can go through walls. It can't be the same. And yet it looks like me. Now, I look like my mother. I look almost exactly like my mother. My mother refuses to get old. That's all right with me. We've been accused of being sisters. We were in a store, my mother, my sister, and I kind of lost track of where they were. And there was a man on a platform up just similar to this. And I was pacing back and forth. And he said, ma'am, can I help you? And I said, I was hunting my sister. And my sister had on this shirt that said Olivia, which is not her name at all. That was her concept of a joke. And he said, well, your sister would be right over there. See, right over there. And I looked and it was mother. I said, no, 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 you don't understand. I'm hunting for Olivia. He said, I didn't see her. Well, mother and I look alike. We have a physical nature that's very similar. Now, you are born of God. God is on the inside. He's on the inside. He's on the inside. He's on the inside. He's right in here. Don't ever forget as you go through life that it's you and God together. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And never is a long time. Is not never a long time? How long is never? See, sometimes our steps are slow and our head is down. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't know what to do. Somebody come along, they can tell by your face. My face shows everything. You know, I try to act with dignity, but my face just exposes my heart. And they'll know that and they'll say, what's the matter? And we act like God is dead, God is gone, or God is retired, or God is not working very hard today. Maybe taking a nap, gone on a little vacation. No, he's working. And the fact that I can't see what he's doing doesn't mean he's not working.
That's right.
We walk by faith, not by sight. Our physical senses cannot command a vision of God. But in the spirit, I'm a spirit. I'm a spirit. One lady told me that she was in a dress shop. My mother used to work in a little dress shop. And she said, I saw you across the room. I went to say, hello, how are you? And I got close and I realized it's not you. It looked like you. It was almost you, but it wasn't quite you. She said, so I backed off and went about my shopping. And she said, you came around the corner. And I thought, well, it is her. I should speak to her. And she reached out to speak to her. And then it dawned on her that it had to have been mother. I'm telling you, we do look alike. Well, on the inside, I have a physical nature. I look like my mother. I have a lot of attributes of my father as well. But on the inside, I belong to Almighty God and I look like God. Now, what's on the inside is supposed to come to the outside. Now, we sing a song, there's something on the inside working on the outside. The thing I don't like about that song is it's not a something on the inside working on the outside. There's someone on the inside working on the outside. There's someone in here. God in here. The day I was born again, God moved in. God moved in.
Hallelujah.
And he didn't just come for a visit. He said, I'll never leave you. Arthur said, he said, I'm giving you eternal redemption. He redeemed me. He set me free. And the work that he did in me is eternal. Lest I turn loose of it, throw it to the wind, don't want to walk in it. But I'm telling you, I like God. I like him on the inside. I like what's on the inside coming to the inside. I don't tend to turn loose. I tend to hold on. Now, you know how to hold on. I do this demonstration in a lot of places. I'm going to show you how to hold on. I throw you out into the Atlantic Ocean. And I tell you, I'll be back for you tomorrow. And I give you a life raft. I'm going to tell you, I don't have to explain hold on to you. You be holding on.
That's right.
When I come tomorrow, I'll see you glancing across the horizon, maybe with your eyes sealed because the sun on the Atlantic is bright, 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 but I'd see you holding on. Now, if I, and don't hurt me, okay? If I take his hand and I say, now turn loose, turn loose. Go ahead, turn loose, turn loose, turn loose, turn loose of me. Why can't he turn loose? Because I'm holding on. Now, I intend to hold on to God. I intend to hold on to his word. I intend to hold on to his spirit. And I intend to be all he wants me to be and do all he wants me to do and say all he wants me to say. And I know I've made some mistakes. Everybody's made some mistakes. But the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Yeah. Oh, thank God.
Hallelujah.
When you come back to God, he hadn't retreated. He's still there. He's been waiting on you all the time. There was a book called Tyranny of the Urgent. I read it years ago. I can't remember what it said at all. But I do remember the example that was given. The lady said every morning she got up and read her Bible and prayed. She got up and sat in a particular chair. Well, for a day or two, she was really busy, and she skipped her prayer time and her reading time. And two or three more days passed. You know, once you skip it one time, it's easier to skip it two times. The farther you move away from God, the easier it comes to be to live at a distance. And so said a week or two passed, and she thought she better get back on schedule here and get back to her reading and praying that she liked to do early in the morning. And said when she stepped in the door of her living room where her chair was, she had a vision, and she saw Jesus sitting in that chair. And he said, I've been waiting on you. Where have you been? You see, because he says, I never, 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 never leave you. Never leave you. Now, Wayne is retired. When he went to the office, I was by myself all day. You know, I shouted loud and paced loud. I'm a pacer. You can't tell that, I know, but I'm a pacer. And I was by myself. I did what I wanted to. And then he retired, and he's not going anywhere. And I had a revelation of some things I'd heard other women say. Oh, and for every now and then, for, oh, maybe a month or two, I thought, don't you have anything to do? It's like I was a little intimidated, praying loud, and here he comes, and there he goes. And then we have our granddaughter a couple afternoons a week, and our office is there, and our daughter works for us, and she's there all the time. And I thought, no, never alone. That's not the songwriter meant, so I'm twisting his mini a little bit, but I thought, you know, I could be by myself. God and I could walk together. And then the day came when he went to the store, and I thought he said he'd be right back, and he didn't come right back. I thought, where is he? You see, I had changed. I had changed. Now I'm used to him being there all the time. And when he goes, I say, now how, where are you going? Now how long are you going to be gone? Oh, you take the phone with you so I can find you. And he didn't change at all. I did. Now there's someone on the inside. You know who that someone is? It's Almighty God. And you know how long he's in there? Forever and forever and forever and forever. And you know what he's in there? To effect a change in our life. He wants us to do right. He wants to change us. There's someone on the inside working on the outside. Someone on the inside. Someone on the inside working on the outside. Now turn to Luke chapter 1. Oh, I want to show you something that's so precious. The work of Almighty God in the lives of those who were yielded. You know, I'm in a Christmas mode. I've been in a Christmas mode for 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know. I could skip Thanksgiving, go right to Christmas. I am ready. We decorate our house just for Wayne and I. Some years we don't even have any company, and we usually put up 7 to 9 Christmas trees. I just love it. Just do that for myself, not doing that for the neighbors. Don't even have any neighbors. We live on acreage. I just like Christmas. I didn't used to like Christmas. I hated to see Christmas coming. I had my teeth gritted. I just really despised Christmas. And something happened. You know what happened? I changed. And I put up one tree, and I found another little tree on sale, and I thought, oh, I like that one. And then I was down at the store, and they had this beautiful white and red tree, and I thought, oh, and I like that one. And then we had this corner, a tiny little corner, needs a tall, narrow tree, and I said, hey, I need a tall, narrow tree. And I got me another one. And then you know what I did? I hung one upside down from the ceiling. And I decorated it upside down, and it was gorgeous. And people began to drop in and begin to call. I want to come see your tree. You know what happened? I don't know why I changed. I changed. Yeah. It wasn't Christmas didn't change. The same as it always been. But no longer did I have my teeth gritted. Yeah. I said, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's have Christmas. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. I changed. Oh, thank God, there's someone on the inside working on the outside. I'm so glad. You know, when Wayne and I got married, he's a pouter, I'm a shouter. If we have a disagreement, he isn't going to say anything at all, and I have plenty to say. And I'm going to straighten this out. And I've always been gifted with words, even before the Lord called and anointed me. I think he called and anointed me so he could channel my words in the right direction. I'm not sure. I haven't asked him. Not sure about that. Don't write that down, but I think that's possible. And I could be wrong, and he could be right. And yes, with words, I could back him into a corner and come out on top, even though I was in error, because he isn't going to say anything. What I realized over the first year or two that we were married, we've been married 38 years, that I'm wasting my words because he's not listening. He has more senses than most people. He has what we call another sense called ATO. That's automatic tune out. And he just goes click and he's gone. He may be looking in your direction, but he isn't hitting her in a word you say. He's not listening. So I thought, you know, shouting's not working here. And over a period of time, I didn't do it deliberately. I just quit shouting, quit trying to explain things to him. He's not getting it anyway. Why waste your breath? And I became a pouter. What happened? I changed. I hardly ever shout anymore. But I could go to my room, stay 3 or 4 days if you make me too mad. And it's a good thing. I have good news for you. Don't get too mad. I'm real good at it. That's why I have to guard my heart and not get too mad. Because I can survive mad. I can do mad real good, is what I'm telling you. What happened? I changed. I changed. Quit shouting, now I'm pouting. I learned with my children, the scripture says, soft answer turns away wrath. And our son is like his daddy. He looks exactly like his mother, but he is in personality more like his father. And if you talk to him, even when he was a little boy, he just stares at you. Just like his daddy. But he isn't hearing a word you say. And you know what mothers do? I always point my finger. And they know they're in trouble. I point my finger and I said, Joel, come in and you listen to me. Are you getting this? Are you listening to your mother? He's kind of like the Statue of Liberty. He's just standing there. He's not getting it. Well, I learned maybe I should lower my voice. And I took that scripture literally. I know it maybe wasn't meant literally, but I took it literally, and I began to lower my voice. Instead of saying, Joel, come here. Are you listening to me? I would say, Joel, now I want you to listen to me. And the madder I was, the softer I spoke. I did it deliberately. And next thing you know what happened? I changed. Now if I'm shouting, nobody pays me attention. I'm so changed, they realize there's a change in me, a warm and happy spirit. If by chance you hear it, sing with me, there's a change in me. Oh, what a declaration. Hallelujah. What a confirmation in me.
Thank you, Lord.
I changed. And they know they're not in any trouble if I'm shouting, talking loud, because I can talk loud. But if I say, now listen here, and lower my voice, they all come to attention. Why? I've changed. I've just changed. I've changed. Thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost, the glory of God that changes us. Everybody needs a change of some kind. Now, what change I need, and I say this politely, is none of your business. You know, we're real inclined to tell the other person what they need. And it's so unprofitable, I don't know why we keep doing it. You know what you do? You make them mad. Now, you're supposed to channel your children, but you're not supposed to channel your spouse. And you're not supposed to tell him, you know what, you're some kind of creep, some kind of louse. And you've made me so mad, I'm not going to speak to you all day. Has that ever happened to you? But there's a change in me,
thank God.
A warm and happy spirit. If by chance you hear it, thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen.
My mother's real inclined to lock herself out of the house. She keeps every door locked all the time. You cannot go to Mother's and get in. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you were raised there and lived there for 20 years. You cannot get in. She keeps the door locked. And then she goes to the laundry, which is the older home. The laundry's outside, and she locks the door. The door's locked. She automatically locks it. Now she's outside. She can't get inside. So my father decided to be of help and service to her, and he hid a key outside. One day she called me, and she said, Becky Sue, that's what Mother would call me. She said, could you come and let me in the house with your key? And I said, Mother, I don't have a key. She said, your daddy gave all you children a key. I have a younger sister, a younger brother. And I said, no, I know I don't have a key. I haven't ever had a key. I said, use your outside key. She said, well, I used it yesterday. I forgot to bring it back out. It's in the house. See, we need a change here. We need a little change here.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll go get Debbie's key. Debbie worked about 10 minutes north, and Mother's about 10 minutes south. So it's going to take me a while to go get the key. I called Debbie. I said, can you run the key? She's a school teacher. Run your mother's house key down the office. I'm coming to get it. Well, I went up there. And when I got to Mother's, the neighbor, my mother is resourceful. The neighbor had taken the front door off of the hinges. So now, see, the Holy Ghost changes us. My father is trying to affect a change in my mother. So now we need two keys hiding on the outside in case she doesn't bring one back. See, we need a change. But he's willing to work with her and to help her to change. And that's the preciousness of the Holy Ghost of God. You know, he isn't going to get in your face and say, I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you did that. This is the third time you've done that. I am leaving this temple. No, he's going to keep singing, come home. Come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, he keeps calling. Keeps saying, Becky. Becky. And I may be going the other direction. I'm not listening. He never gives up. Keep saying, Becky, Becky.
Yes.
I was mad, and you'd think I'm mad all the time, but honestly, I very seldom get mad, and it's a really good thing that I don't. But I was mad, and I am a midnight to 1 o'clock person. That's bedtime. I was so mad I went to bed at 8 o'clock. Well, you can't go to sleep at 8 o'clock. And I was laying in there, slammed the door on my way in, you know, blam. Thinking, I can't believe that, I can't believe that, I can't believe that. I was just muttering and murmuring to myself. And I heard somebody call my name fairly loud. Becky! Well, Wayne wouldn't call me Becky, and I didn't think about the time I had put Suzanne to bed. She's right across the hall. I went, and she's sound asleep. And then as I'm looking at her, I realize she would never have called me that anyway. So I went back to the room, and I'm still pouting, thinking what to do. When it dawned on me that the voice was on the inside. It didn't actually come to my ears, but it was so loud I thought I heard it here, but it was on the inside. And it was Almighty God. You know why? Because His mercy endureth forever. Because mad is going to sever you from right relationships. It's going to affect your faith because faith works by love.
That's right.
It's going to propel you in the wrong direction like a strong wind. Now, we have had in Florida strong wind. If you watch the weather, we have had strong wind. And these tremendous oaks that are 100 years old, some longer than that, some of them as much as 6, 8, or 10 foot around, were just blown right over, just blam. Nothing to it. Strong wind blew that oak over. And that's what the devil tries to do to you. To get you to cooperate with your flesh. See, the flesh always says, you can't do that to me. Who do you think you are? But see, there's someone on the inside who says, come home.
Thank God.
Come home.
Thank God.
Ye who are weary, come home. Someone on the inside trying to change me, trying to effect a change in my life. Now here's Zacharias chapter 1. Are you there? I'm so glad Jesus sets us free. I'm so glad Jesus sets us free. The angel appeared to him. He's in the temple. He's a high priest. He and Elizabeth are elderly, well stricken in age. I don't know what that means exactly, but I'd say they're 80s, 90s. Well stricken is pretty old, isn't it? He's a priest and he's offering incense. And the angel appears to him, and I love it. Verse 13, the angel said, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John." Now, he's well stricken in age, so you know he didn't pray that prayer yesterday. I mean, he didn't wait till he's 70 or 80 years old and say, "You know what, Elizabeth, I just had an idea." He prayed that prayer so long ago, he had given up on it. He had turned loose of it. Hadn't thought much about it. Now, when the angel gave him the glad news that his prayer had been answered, he's not going to believe that. Because he's too old, and Elizabeth's too old. But you know, God's not moved by the flesh of man. See, God's in the spirit. And everything you need from God is on the inside.
Amen.
It's on the inside. We try to maneuver. We try to think it through. We try to work it out. But your answer is on the inside, and the change is on the inside. Now, Zacharias doesn't believe the word of the Lord, doesn't believe the angel, and so he's not going to be allowed to speak. His ability to speak is taken from him temporarily. It wasn't a disease. It was the glory of the Lord came upon him in such dimension that he could no longer speak. You know why that is? Because when you speak to a mountain, command it to move, it moves. Because words are important in the kingdom of God. He speaks all those words of doubt. He's going to interfere with the plan of God. And God intends to be a performer of his plan. He intends to do for you. He intends to be in you. But he has to have your cooperation. He has to have your faith. He has to have your yieldedness. And unbelief is not yielding. Doubt is not yielding. So he's going to be stricken, unable to speak. Now here's what is so interesting, so exciting to me. Zacharias needs a change, you see. There isn't any doubt when he prayed for a child that he was headed in the right direction. I just know after they were married a while and he realized she did not conceive a child, they began to pray. So why did God take so long to come? You know? We get a little impatient, don't we? I want it now. You do that for me now. I'm kind of a now person. And when I put something across Suzanne's desk, I kind of wait 5 minutes and see if she's working on it. And she can't possibly be a lot of times because we have a lot of things going on right now. What is God going to do? See, God is a performer of his plan. I love what one minister said. Said she had found out over many years that God is never late, but he's frequently last minute.
Yeah.
And this looks last minute, but you know God's always on time, always on schedule. He's going to perform this supernaturally. He's going to work a miracle in their body and give them an answer to their prayer. And God can work a miracle for you and give you an answer to your prayer. But you have to look to the inside. Now Zacharias goes home. Elizabeth conceives a child. And this is what I love. I just love this. He's not able to speak. You know, it didn't take him too long to realize he'd been wrong. Had been wrong. He could see by her bulging body that God was right and he was wrong. And I got news for you. God is always right. When he said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you," that's what he meant. He's still here. And it may seem like he's not here and you may feel in despair, but you need to look up and look into heaven's eyes and say, "I know you're here."
Amen.
And he said he'd make you more than a conqueror. And when it looks like your finances are dragging and you're standing on your last foot and they're going to repossess your TV, which probably would be a good thing, by the way. You need to say, "I know what you said. You said, if I'd give, it'd be given unto me. And I have given, and so I know it's given unto me. You said you'd meet my need out of your riches in glory. You said the windows of heaven would open, pour me out a blessing. You said you'd do exceeding abundantly above all I'd ask or think. And I know you keep your word. God's a performer of his word, since he watches over his word to perform it. And if somebody speaks from the inside, not from the mind, not from a mental grip or grasp, I could give you a scripture and say, memorize that, and most people could memorize it. That doesn't mean you could quote it tomorrow. You know, over a period of time, even doing some lessons over and over again, I feel prompted to redo that lesson, and I have to go back to my notes. I can't remember exactly how I did that. I remember doing something that was maybe significant, that maybe was clearer, and I'd like to repeat that. I feel prompted to repeat it. Can't remember it. Thank God there's someone on the inside who changes us, someone who sticks with us, someone who keeps his word, someone who performs his word, someone who never leaves us.
Never.
Never. Someone on the inside.
Yes.
Now, Zacharias has words to say he can't say. I know he had plenty to say. I know he had some things he wanted to shout on the highest mountain, but he can't speak. The baby was born. They're going to name the baby after the father, which would have been traditional. And Elizabeth said, no, we're going to name him John. So they gave him a tablet and said, what would you have the baby name? He writes down John. Now, he and Elizabeth are in agreement. And it says the neighbors were surprised. I don't know why they were surprised that they were in agreement, but that's interesting, isn't it? Someone on the inside, working on the outside, someone on the inside. Someone been working in Zacharias all those months. He's remembering that angel and saying to that angel, how shall this be? And the angel said, because of your doubt and unbelief. See, it wasn't a question. He just wanted to understand God's commitment and the supernatural power of God. It was doubt, clearly unbelief. But when he wrote down John, his mouth was open. See, now he's changed. Oh, thank God, now he's changed. We used to sing, who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Do you know that old song? Now he's changed. There's a change in me. A warm and happy spirit, if by chance you hear it, sing with me. There's a change in me. Oh, what a glad, what a confirmation. Now, here's Zacharias' words. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. He hasn't spoken in all of these months. And I love this. You remember the town criers? You've seen those in movies before television, before radio, before newspaper. If there was anything they should know, the town crier would come to the corner of the street and he would shout the news. And then he'd go down to the next corner. That was his job. And he would shout the news. Well, here is Zechariah's words. And they're found in verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Now, I know he didn't whisper that. I wasn't there. I'm just guessing. But I believe he was like that town crier. I believe when he got his mouth open and got his words together by the Holy Ghost, he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. And I believe he went to every neighbor. I believe he paced the streets with that new baby boy. An old man. See, a miracle of God. Saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. He changed. This is the man that said, how can this be? He's changed. Now he's going to declare the greatest change that's ever going to be. Jesus is going to come, going to die for the sins of man, going to defeat the enemy of our soul, of our spirit man, the devil, and he's going to change everybody who will step into the kingdom and believe. He's going to affect a change that's going to be person to person worldwide. It's the biggest change ever offered to the universe. You know, if people are changing things, giving things away, there's always somebody that doesn't qualify, somebody's left out. But when God's going to effect a change, he's going to say for you and you and you and all around the world, the voice of God is going to say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. It's going to say, come home. Come home. Now, you know that doesn't say God loved the world. One thing I know about church people, they've never learned to read. What does it say? It doesn't say God loved the world. It does not say God loved the world. What does it say? He so loved the world. And that little word, S-O, is very important. Now, I love you. I've learned to love you. We've had a wonderful time. We've been so graciously hosted. We couldn't have been more comfortable. We couldn't have had more of our needs met, exceeding abundantly above. And I've learned to love you. I recognize some of your faces. I haven't grasped many of your names. But I don't love you like I love this man. I so love him. I loved him so much, before we were married, I went hunting with him. What a drag. He wants to go hunting. Well, I'm in love. Deeply in love. I'm still deeply in love, even when he makes me mad. So I went hunting. I trucked behind, through the weeds, through the muck. Thought the dogs were fascinating. Fascinating, the training of the dogs. I just loved that. But after a while, I said, you know what? If you don't mind, I'm going to go sit in the truck. You know when's the last time I went hunting? Right before we got married. We got married, and I've never been in the field again. It is hot in Florida. It is mucky and muddy. It is wet. It is rainy. And who wants to eat those little birds anyway? Not me. So I want to eat the quail. I like them. You go right ahead. We're not all alike. The body of Christ has been duped by the devil into thinking everybody has to be alike. We do not have to be alike. We are all different. You can eat the quail. I can skip the quail. And it's perfectly all right with God. And what happens is, if I wear a skirt to my ankles, everybody thinks they have to wear a skirt to ankles. And the thing that hurt religion and hurt the church was the fact that we're not anybody going to wear lipstick. Or we're not anybody going to wear pearls. Or we're not anybody going to do this. Or we're not anybody going to do that. And we went amok.
That's right.
One fellow told me, well, you don't drink Cokes on Sunday. I thought I'd heard everything. Have you heard that? Did y'all know you couldn't drink Cokes on Sunday? No Cokes today. Everybody got that clear? What happened to the church? Said, you have to look like me. If you want to be saved, you want to be a Christian, you got to look like me, you got to walk like me, you got to talk like me, but I'm not you and I'm not like you. One lady said, I can't be loud. I can't pray loud like you are. I said, can you pray soft? She said, yes. I said, that'll work. There's some truth to that old song, I Gotta Be Me. See, there's God in me, and He directs my life through my personality to serve Him. He so loved me. He so loved you. And we had a little dog. We've had a series of dogs. You know what happens? The children get married and leave you with the dogs. Have you figured that out? If you haven't figured that out, if it hasn't come to that, I tell you, it's exactly what happens. They get married, you end up with the dogs. So we had this little dog that we loved. Oh, I loved her. I loved her. I loved her. We took her everywhere we went. When we went on vacation, we stayed with the roaches in order to take the dog. Because they won't let you take your dog in the major places. In Florida, there's no place for your dog, almost exclusively no place for your dog. But I so loved her. Well, one day she died. I couldn't get over that. My heart was bound to her. Well, God's heart is bound to you. And all of that time, Zacharias was in doubt and unbelief. God said, I can change him. See, God can change your baby. He can change your friend. He can change your circumstances if you trust in Him. Amen. He can do exceeding abundantly above,
yeah,
if you ask Him to. He's great big, great big, and He's down in you.
Amen.
Right here on the inside. Now Zechariah said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, He hath visited and redeemed His people. Now, nobody redeems anything today. It's an interesting thing that words are pointing to the scripture, pass right out of vogue. Nobody says that word. Nobody sanctifies anything. We just don't use those words. Nobody says grace anymore. Don't know exactly what grace is. All I knew about grace for years was my mother had a friend named Grace. I studied grace for years and years. I'd study it, and I think, no, I can't teach that. I somehow couldn't get it in my spirit. See, we're spirit beings. Everything you need, everything you want, everything you'll have successfully is not going to come through your mind, your mental capacity, or your ability to perform. It's going to come from the Spirit, from this person who lives on the inside, from this spirit man. Now, in the flesh, I look like my mother, but in the Spirit, I look like my Father God.
Amen.
Oh, thank God. Thank God. I am made in His image, created in His likeness. And eternal life does not mean to live forever. That's what people say when you ask him. The sinner is going to live forever, but he does not have eternal life. Because eternal life doesn't mean to live forever. But eternal life is to possess the very nature of God. Peter said we are partakers of the divine nature. The divine nature is the very nature of God. And it says God is love. And that's why when I'm born again, it says the love of God is shed abroad in my heart. I have God's love in my heart. Why? Because I now have His nature. I'm a participator in His nature. I'm a partaker. I'm one who shares the divine nature. That means in the Spirit, I am like Almighty God. And I'm supposed to cultivate and nurture my spirit. I'm supposed to allow God to change me, to help me to grow in spirit, so that this that's on the inside that is of such magnitude can come to the outside. And so when my flesh says they can't do that to you, I can say, now you listen. I'm taking charge here. You're not in charge. You've been crucified, and I don't want to hear from you again. Is that clear? I'm talking to me. I'm talking from the spirit to the flesh. You ever have to talk to your body? Scripture says, speak to yourself. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speak to yourself. You know, the world says people speak to themselves are crazy, but you can't believe what the world says. You embrace the world's theology and you follow the world, you're going to drop off the cliff.
That's right.
Because the world says you can't talk to yourself, you'd be crazy. And God says you need to speak to yourself. See, we have to follow the Word. We have to follow Almighty God. We have to follow the prompting. If there's going to be a change in my life, I have to follow this Spirit of the living God that's on the inside. I have to allow Him to change. And the Spirit of the Lord is the glory of God. It says from glory to glory, He is changing me. Amen. See, I put my faith out. The glory, His presence. So Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. The glory of the Father is the Holy Ghost. The power of God is the Holy Ghost. It doesn't matter if you say glory, if you say power, if you say Holy Ghost, you've said the same thing. One thing about the Scripture that's been misunderstood, it does not say a lot of different things. Say, oh, it's such a big book, it has so many different messages. It does not. It does not. It does not. It's a very simple book when you read it with the eyes of the Spirit. Don't read it with your mind. Read it with your spirit. Read it with your heart. Whereas Paul talked about this inward man, he called it an inward man. When Peter talked about the inward man, he called him a hidden man. And in Romans, he's called a spirit man. It doesn't matter if he's inward or hidden. You know, if I put my hand in the glove, it's inward, it's also hidden. See, it's the same message. Different spokesmen have used different words, different choices of terminology, but it's identically the same message. An inward man is a hidden man, is a spirit man, is a temple of the Holy Ghost. There's someone on the inside, someone on the inside, someone on the inside. I say, come on, work in me. So work in me, Holy Spirit, work in me. Work in me till I can be what God wants me to be. Work in me, work in me. Help my eyes, O Lord, to see. Work in me, work in me, work in me. There's a change in me. That's God's desire. And it comes by the Spirit. It comes by divine unction. It comes by divine power. Now the psalmist said, He restores my soul. That's not any different from what James said when James talks about the saving of the soul. It's not any different from what Paul said. We talked about the renewing of the mind. The mind is the soul. See, different authors use different terminology. You get our terminology together and you see how consistent is the message of the Scripture. It doesn't matter if you restore it, or you save it, or you renew it. It's the same thing. The same message. And the message of heaven to you is the same as the message to Zechariah. God can change you. Now there's some things that are going to be required if there's going to be a change. First of all, this change depends on my yielding to the power of the Spirit of God. It's not my might or my power, but it is by the Spirit. I know you, like me, have thought of something you thought, I really shouldn't say that. I'm not going to say it. I'm just not going to say it. And you're talking to somebody and you think, no, I probably shouldn't tell them that. I'm just not going to say that. Has that ever happened to you? And you know what you did? You waited 5 minutes and then you said it. Then you told them. And the minute you told them, you could see by their face that you were right to start with. You should never have told them. Have you ever done that? Why didn't you hold your mouth in restraint? Why did you go ahead and say it? when you had that wonderful thought from heaven, from the inside, I probably shouldn't mention this to them. And then you did. See, we have to reckon with the scripture that the answer to life is on the inside. God is on the inside. He is not a mind, and He is not in my mind. My mind has to be renewed or restored. Now, recently, I love old furniture, and I wanted an old chair, a particular old chair. Now, I don't need a thing. My house is full of stuff. I don't really need anything, and my motto is, this is just me, I don't need anything bad enough to pay full price. That's the truth. And so I'm looking for an old chair, and I finally found one, and I got the lady down in my price range, and I took it to the upholsterer for him to take it all apart so Wayne could refinish it. It had wooden arms. Beautiful old chair. And when they took it apart, it said this chair was purchased in 1927. Oh, I just thought, this is so wonderful, so wonderful. Well, Wayne refinished it. The upholsterer picked it up. He brought it back the other day just before we left. And I am telling you, it is good looking. I sat in that thing. Now it's got some old parts and some new parts. It's not all new. It's not all old. Some of it's old. Some of it's reconditioned. Some of it's been replaced. It's new and it's old. It's been restored or it's been renewed. Now God said, you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to depend on me, not depend upon your flesh, not depend upon your mind, but totally and completely depend on me to change you and put all of my word you can eat in your mind and in your heart. The mind is the doorway to the heart of the spirit, and anything that goes into my spirit came through my mind. I know you'll be totally blank and somebody will tell you, well, I think your spirit got that. I'm not so sure about that. That too much happens if your mind is not open. But when I open my mind, it's not that my mind processes it or understands it. My mind handles it and passes it to my spirit. And in the spirit, the Holy Ghost explains it to me. And when my spirit has the explanation, that explanation comes from my spirit back to my mind. And we call that revelation. Now, if I told you how to get to my house and I said, you come to this intersection and there's a fast food restaurant on this corner and a bank on this corner and a gas station on this corner and another drugstore on this corner. And you say, I can't remember seeing that. And I describe it to you two or three times. And you said, I just can't. Tell me one more time. I can't focus in on where you are. And I said, there's a bank. Been there for a long time. Old bank. There's an old shopping center recently remodeled with a fast food restaurant in front. There's a drugstore. And I describe it to you again. You say, oh, I know where that is. You had what we call revelation. That's like when you come in the house and you smell something cooking. You think, roast? What is that? And you have revelation. You know how you have revelation? You do what I do. You go right to the stove. You lift the lid. And in the Greek, revelation, the word revelation means to lift the lid. And there's someone on the inside that's going to lift the lid if I yield to him. He's going to lift the lid and point me in the direction of change. Now, the change I need might not be the change you need. You know, if everybody goes on a diet, then the whole world thinks this is the diet, this is the thing to do, and it may not be the thing to do for you. It may have worked for them. It may not work for you. You know, we're just like sheep. I went to a demonstration, and I watched. They moved those sheep, and you may know more about sheep than I do. We don't have sheep much in Florida. But they moved those sheep. They had one sheep, one, with a bell on its neck, and they had it by a leash or a lasso or whatever you would call that. And he only moved that one sheep. He was only in possession of that one sheep. And he took that one sheep by the rope and he walked him across to another part of the pasture. And when he did, every one of those sheep, blah, 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 lined up. They were not tied in. They did not have to move. Nobody cajoled them. Nobody herded them. Nobody lassoed them. They just followed this one sheep. And that's what we tend to do. We just follow the group. Herding instinct. Christians have the strongest herding instinct on the face of the earth. If anybody's doing it, everybody's doing it. And it may not work for you. But there's someone on the inside that knows what will work for you. Amen. Someone on the inside that wants to change you. Someone, it says, that knows you're down sitting and you're uprising. Holy Ghost of God, working on the inside. There's a change in me. See, I yield to Him. I know I can't make the change. Have you ever tried that? Next time you see your favorite piece of pie, say to your flesh, "We're not having pie today." Have you ever tried that successfully? Maybe sometimes you were successfully, but usually you're not too successful. We're not even battling with not having any. We're saying, "Okay, I won't have a second piece. I won't have a second piece. I will not have two pieces." I fought a little man who was not supposed to eat certain things because he had been very ill. He was recovering, and he's not supposed to eat some things. And I watched him dip a serving and eat it. So I didn't say anything. I do try to mind my own business, and I find out I go better through life if I do mind my own business, if I don't mind yours. And if I see you're going the wrong direction, I talk to the Lord about you and not you about you. I don't talk to you about you unless the Lord sends me. And if you'd follow that, you'd shape some things up. So I didn't say anything to him. And then he went back, got a second helping. And then he put some things on the second helping that he shouldn't put on them, you know. So he added fire to the fire. And I know after a while he's going to have a real struggle in his body. And you know what the first thing he's going to do? He's going to come and want us to pray for him. And he wouldn't have needed prayer if he hadn't eaten it. Why did he eat it? He knew he shouldn't eat it. He knew it was going to make him sick. Why did he do that? See, it's not our might, not our power, but by the Spirit. By the Spirit. There's a precious lady that smokes cigarettes. And I said, "I tell you what, I'll lay my hands on you. We'll make a command in the Holy Ghost and help you get rid of those cigarettes." She said, "No, don't touch me." She's absolutely convinced that if anybody prays for her, she'll never be able to smoke again. She's not ready to make a change. Are you ready to make a change? Do you want to change? Not by might, not by power. God's going to change you. And then you're going to open this word. You're going to cooperate with heaven. You're going to meditate day and night. You're going to read and put all this precious word through your mind into your spirit and expect the Holy Ghost on the inside to bring you the revelation that you need to explain things to you. I have what I call a spiritual shelf. Questions that I need answered and scriptures that are not quite clear to me. And I put them on that shelf. I expect over time for God to unravel and explain those things to me. I've already figured out sometimes He can't explain this scripture to me because I don't know this other. It's like asking a first grader learning to add and crying out because they don't know how to divide. Well, you've got to learn some other things. Sometimes my question is far beyond my grasp of the scriptures, but as I keep meditating, see, I depend upon the teacher, the Holy Ghost. There is someone on the inside. There is someone on the inside, and He knows all things, and it says in Scripture, He'll teach you all things if you want to know. And so I put that question up there, and over time, I find out I get my answer. And maybe it's days, maybe it's weeks. A couple questions have been a long, long time, but I got my answer because there's someone on the inside who knows that I want to be changed. And if I'm going to be changed, I have to meditate, it says in the Scripture, day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If you want to prosper, you want to have good success, it's because you take time to meditate in the Word. Meditation is talking to yourself about the Word of God. It's quoting it to yourself. It's thinking about it. It's like a cow sitting in the pasture chewing its cud. It's taking a scripture, a verse, a phrase that are significant to you. You can't meditate in a chapter. It would be difficult. You don't meditate in a book. You pitch your tent like camping in one spot. You light a fire in that one spot, and you're prepared to stay right there on the bank of that river, in that spot, in that tent, at that campfire, until you have the understanding. And then, when you understand that, you've meditated in that, and you understand that, you pick up your tent and you move it to the next scripture. And even in your meditation, you're led by this someone on the inside, because He knows what you need to know in order to understand what you've asked Him to tell you. See, and as I'm reading this word and talking to myself, now I do a lot of treadmilling. I try to keep in shape. I know you can't tell that, but believe me, it's been a lot of effort. If I hadn't done what I've done, I would probably weigh 600 pounds. I do appreciate food. This someone on the inside wants you to eat his word. It says the word is like bread. And you eat that word and you paste it on the inside and you say, Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Teach me. Tell me. And he begins to teach you. Begins to tell you. Begins to explain to you. And then you have to exercise. You begin to speak that word. Begin to say. Now when I get on the treadmill, if I'm not watching television, sometimes we watch a lot of House and Garden. I don't know what you watch, but pretty soon I'll be able to have my decorator's license without ever going to school. I mean, I know how to rip it out, tear it up, and put it back. I don't know if I physically could do it, but I've seen, I've watched. I'd get on there and I'd sing the scripture over and over again, spend my 20 minutes saying, He sent His word to heal me. He sent His word to heal me. He sent His word to heal me, so I believe I'm well. I'm meditating in that one spot. And for 20 minutes, I'd say, He sent His word and heal me. He sent His word and heal me. Because I want to change in my body. I want to change in my physical demeanor. I want to change in the level of my strength. And so I take the word of the living God. I yield to Him. I'm not making the change, but I'm opening the door for Him to come into my life and make the change. And I'm reading about the changes that He said He wanted in my life. And He said, I want you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. He said, I want it above all things. Now, when we leave town, our children were, when they were at home, they're not at home anymore, we would leave them certain duties to do. Some things were important, some things were unimportant. But the thing that was most important, the only change that was absolutely essential, was to feed the dog at 5 o'clock. Now, my dog doesn't eat at 4:30, and if you feed her at 4:30, she's just going to stand and look at the bowl till 5 o'clock. Would that some Christians would catch on to obedience to the word of the living God. 5 o'clock. Now, I like the vacuum run. I like the dishwasher. I don't like to come home with a sink full of dishes. And I don't like to come home with, we live in the woods, so anything that's outside comes inside. And I like them to vacuum and straighten up. But if they didn't do that and the dog was happy, I'm not going to say anything, because the most important thing is that the dog be happy. And God said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, above all things. Above all things, above all. This is a priority in the mind of God, that His people prosper, that they walk in health. That's the change that He wants to make in your life. When you come to Him, He said, that's the very change. See, He wanted to change Zechariah's life. He wanted this old man to have a son. He wanted this son to usher in the Messiah who was coming. God wanted that change. And Zechariah did not believe in the change. And God affected that change by His power. But normally, God affects a change in your life because you're cooperating with heaven, because you're meditating in the Word, you're finding out what change God wants for you, and you're holding on to that change, you're holding fast to that change, not willing to turn loose of it. Say, I will not turn loose of prosperity. I will not turn loose of my health. I always say, because for 7 years I taught healing, I'd watch people's mind leave them before their body did. Yeah. So I always say, this is a change I want. It's perfectly scriptural. I said, my mind and my body are leaving here together. My mind is not leaving before my body does. Amen. So I'm speaking of change. I'm speaking about that change. I'm ordering my footsteps before I get to the point. And I'm not going to have any senior moments. And if you say that, you say that about yourself, but I'm not saying that. I'm not having any senior moments. My mind and my body are going to function efficiently and leave and head into heavenly places together. Amen. See, that's the change that I want. Do you want a change? It comes by the Spirit. It comes as you meditate in the Word and cooperate with heaven. It comes as you yield and fully depend upon Him. And then this thing on this spirit man on the inside that's completely new, not like my old chair, partially new and part old. The spirit man is totally, completely new, new, new. And what's on the inside begins to come to the outside, begins to affect the mind, affect the body. And then my body is part new and part old, and my mind is part new and part old. And with this new spirit and the work that's being done in my mind and my body, I can sail through life and live 80, 90, 100 years. It says I can be satisfied with long life. I can live till I'm finished. Right. And sail right out of heaven into God's presence. See, there's a change in me. I desire change. I want change. And I know I have to affect that change. I have to desire. I have to grow. I have to meditate. I have to say, come Holy Spirit, I need you. Come sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in thine own special way. Do you want to change? Can you do it by yourself? Who's going to help you? Someone on the inside.